Good evening, dear friends, and thank you for joining us once again this week to another Gnostic Lab of Practical Application. Today, we are going to do a little different than we have been doing in our previous weeks. As you would remember, we have been coming week after week, and we have been putting into practice not only relaxations, but postures and mantras. Today, let's focus into how is it that we can effectively split our attention. And we really have to open ourselves to that which is new if we really want to apprehend the deep significance of this. So to start with that, allow yourself to remember when you were a young child. For many of you, that could have been 20 years ago, and for some of us, it could have been 30, 40, maybe 50 years ago. But as you remember those moments when you were a young child, it is likely that you will recall how much you used to remember. In many instances, how is it that you were able to remember things, and as you shared them with your parents, you could not understand back then, how can you not remember this when I have all of these vivid memories? This phenomenon happens for a myriad of reasons. But when we are young and innocent, we characteristically look at things with alert perception and alert novelty. We look at everything as if everything were brand new. All that we used to do when we were that young, we carried with ourselves a tremendous degree of excitement. But something happened throughout our lives, and that excitement went away. We started thinking that some things were lame, and we started building our fixed ideas. And before long, we saw ourselves trapped in this particular cycle where you just wake up in the morning and you go to work and you come back, and eventually you see yourself growing old and working to pay your bills, knowing that at some point, well, life is going to extinguish as a candle in the wind. Let's go ahead and go back. And let's regain that alert novelty, and let's regain that alert perception. Because evidently, you would remember that when you were that young, you were a lot happier. We used to enjoy a lot more things, a lot more intensely, and in a degree of enjoyment that was so pure. And friends, we can regain that degree of bliss. We can regain that degree of happiness. And all that requires of us is to learn how to effectively split our attention. And notice that we are emphatic saying effectively, because this is not the division of the attention that comes from you turning on your TV and while Netflix is playing in the background, and by the way, Netflix is not a sponsor of any of this, you will also have your phone and meanwhile you are browsing through your social media stuff. That is not that splitting of attention. That, if anything, is a very disastrous action in which we are further dividing ourselves into multiple egos, just coming and going extremely fast in and out of the human machine. One that is interested in the drama, whether it is action and violence, or whether it is love and romance, or one after the other. And the other one, the many egos that are just focused on either the slandering or the gossip or the memes or the sarcasm or the politics as images just flow through the screen. We are not advocating for that. We are saying we need to effectively split our attention. And for us to do that effectively, we need to rely on the law of the Triyamashikamno. That is the law of the Holy Three. And the number three is always present in creation. Those are the three forces of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But also the three forces of the holy affirmation, the holy negation, and the holy conciliation. And in the light of the law of three, then there is the key of SOL. And this is as simple as the subject, the object, and the location. And the one thing that we must say is that even though this is so simple, we have become so accustomed to intellectualizing everything that we do, to overthink things and to overanalyze things and to overcreate considerations, and then we make this complicated. But this is not complicated. This particular system is like any other system in nature, exceedingly simple. But we need to learn to effectively divide and split our attention in these three aspects. Samael tells us you need to learn to do that if you want to understand the profound significance of the moment that you're experiencing. You know, you may read books, hundreds of pages. Doesn't matter the author, but you have heard that about being in the present moment or being in the now. That is certainly beautiful stuff to write, but if you never learn how to apply it and apply it effectively, then it becomes good information for the intellect. It kind of inspires you and gives you an instant of bliss, but then you forget about it. And you never get out of that condition that you are striving to just leap out of into a condition of bliss. We need to pay careful attention to ourselves in this real life example. So go back to any instant in which you have been at the movies. And if you have never been at the movies, at those moments that you have been sitting on your sofa, fully focused on your TV. If you give yourself the opportunity to see this in the eye of your mind, you will see yourself there in your seat. And even though your eyes will be open, you will notice that you are unconscious, that you are unaware of anything and everything that is happening around you, and all that you are doing is being bombarded through your sense of sight and your sense of hearing. The immersion in the experience is so deep that you are not even aware of yourself, pretty much like a sleepwalker, dreaming about the movie that you're watching. And when the hero suffers, you suffer. And when the hero cries, you cry. That is all fantasy. At that moment, observe how is it that each and every one of us have ignored our own existence. Much of that is what happens in our daily life as well. Many times you have heard us say, how many times do we not get in the car, drive from here to there, and by the time that we get there, we say, how did we get here? How often have you not seen yourself walking out of the kitchen to stop right there in the middle of the hallway, wondering, what was I going to do? We are so deep into the sleep of our consciousness that most of the time we are ignoring what we really are. So we need to work on awakening our conscious attention. And conscious attention will always exclude that thing that is called identification. In other doctrines, that is known as the concept of self. You know, when we identify ourselves with people, with the things and the ideas that exist around us, well, then there is fascination. And once we identify and we fascinate, we fall immediately into that spiral that takes us into the sleep of consciousness. So when it comes to these three aspects, the subject, the object, and the location, we need to ask ourselves, who am I? But let's be careful with that. Because we know... We know that man has been asking that question for the last 2,000 years. So when it comes to this very peculiar element of the subject, notice that the subject is the one taking the action. And that action can be active or passive. So in this light of who am I, it is also appropriate that you ask yourself, what am I doing? And that is important that we know. Because there are times that we are even looking for the keys when the keys are in our hand. Not too long ago, we heard a very funny story about someone who texted someone else asking, have you seen my phone? The other person replied, what are you using to send me this message? This is how we are. So we need to ask ourselves, what am I doing? But notice that key question, who am I? That question, it also has to be consistently asked in a way that is conscious. Because we are indeed made of three things. Again, in alignment with that cosmic universal law of the Triyamashikamno. On one hand, we have our personality. And our personality is an energetic vehicle that we create in this life so that we can interact with our environment. You see, there is no future for the personality. So if at any moment in our lives there has been a consideration that we have a strong personality and that has led us to feel proud or boastful or whatever, know that there is no future for the personality. And the moment that our physical body dies, well, the personality with the body ends up at the cemetery and eventually disintegrates. So no future for the personality. Part of us is a personality. Part of us is a spirit. And the other third is a body. And the body is, of course, the physical vehicle that we use so that we can navigate and interact within this particular dimension. And when it comes to that spiritual aspect, if we are very concise, we are a consciousness. That consciousness contains mind and it contains willpower. And we know that today that consciousness is fragmented and it is trapped inside each and every one of those containers that are the many egos that we have. So every time that our consciousness is fragmented and that there is an ego there, in that ego, a fraction of the consciousness, a fraction of our mind and a fraction of our willpower exists. So we have to ask ourselves, who am I? And when we ask ourselves that question, that is a question that needs to be enabled to come directly from the consciousness that is still free. Because when we can see it like that, then it becomes easier for us to understand that our consciousness is a spark that emanated from the human soul of our innermost, of our spirit. And just like our innermost itself, it has all of the powers and all of the faculties of the innermost, but with infinite degrees of difference. And when we are asking ourselves, who am I? Maintaining the remembrance of self has to bring us to that instant where we can consciously see that within this physicality, the vehicle has a personality at its service, and the personality and the vehicle itself must be at the service of the consciousness, which in turn is at the service of the innermost. Friends, when we do this, we start becoming aware of our own existence. Someone else says, we should look, touch, feel ourselves. Grab yourself, squeeze yourself so that at that moment that you can be instantaneously grounded. And as you do that, realizing that this physicality here is at the service of the innermost, then let's focus on the impressions that are coming into the body. That is the object. So anything that is coming in through your eyes, what you are feeling in your skin, what you're hearing through your ears, tasting from your taste buds, those things that you are perceiving with your sense of smell, ask yourself, what is that? We should be aware of what we are doing at that moment so that we don't make a mistake of allowing our consciousness to go back and falling asleep. So when we ask ourselves, what am I doing? When we ask ourselves, who am I? And we become instantaneously aware of the impressions that are getting into our senses, the last thing that we must ask ourselves is, where am I? And that is the location. Dear friends, the moment that you do this, you effectively disconnect yourself from any drama that may be taking place around you. And when you do that, you give yourself an opportunity to look at things objectively. All of a sudden you realize that that guttural reaction that you're getting because of the words that you have read or the words that you're hearing from someone else, you can see that in reality there is no danger, that there is no need for that instinctive center to be reacting in such dramatic ways and inciting anger and revenge and other things. The moment that you ask yourself, what am I doing? Who am I? Where am I? Why am I here? All of a sudden you see, many of the things that you have been worrying about are really not that worrisome. In an instant, the moment of cognition that you experience will allow you to remain calm in the face of adversity. And in that calmness, you will be able to perceive the intuit of the innermost. This is such a remarkable thing. Friends, when we identify with any kind of impression coming to us, we immediately tend to fascinate. And the moment we become fascinated, we have no consciousness of ourselves. You see, if we happen to be at the local mall, or if we happen to be down at the market and there's somebody who's walking in our direction and they're very attractive, the moment that we identify with that attractiveness and we start creating fantasies within our mind, we have fallen deep into fascination. And in the sleep of consciousness, if we happen to exchange a look, a smile, a conversation, faster than you may imagine, a phone number, a text message, and before long, that fascination and that sleep of consciousness takes you into adulterating and fornicating and creating countless dramas that, number one, it is likely that you don't need them, and number two, that they will add a tremendous amount of extra suffering. So we need to stop before the fascination. That means that we need to respond at the moment the identification kicks in. So if we stop before the fascination happens, the moment that we get that trigger of identification, we ask ourselves, whoa, wait, what am I doing? Who am I? Why am I here? And then, Ask yourself this: am I in the physical plane? Am I in the astral realm? In the astral realm? It is important that you ask this. Because if you make a habit of this, and this is the most wonderful thing about this practice, is that if you make a habit of this, what you are doing during the day is that you are putting into effect the key of discernment. And for those of you who have already gone through the seminar in astral travel, you know that the key of discernment is one of the very first keys that are being taught. The more you repeat this exercise during the day, the more stronger the habit becomes. And as you develop the habit here, inevitably, the moment that you fall asleep, when your physical body is resting at night, and your soul is wandering within the lower realm of the fifth dimension, which is the astral plane, you will repeat the same exercise. And before long, you will awaken your consciousness in the astral plane. And the experience is certainly remarkable. It is so common to see so many students who start developing this habit, and as they find themselves within the astral plane, they say, "Whoa, wait, what am I doing? Who am I? Why am I here?" And then they say, "I am in the astral plane." And then they realize, "Whoa, wait, this is the astral plane." And the excitement is so intense that it vibrates all the way back to the physical body through the thread of Antakarana. You remember, the thread of Antakarana is that thread that binds the soul to the body. And that vibration comes all the way back to the physicality. And in the shock of that vibration, you immediately wake up in bed. And those are great experiences. Because even if that happens, that starts developing for you the faith of clarity. And after all of these experiences synthesize themselves in faith. Because faith is not the expectation of a promise. Faith is not the anticipation that something good is going to happen later. Not now, but later. Faith is the ability to attest because of experiential knowledge. So we should stop before the fascination. The moment that we get the impact of the impression, whether it is through the eyes, or through the ears, or through the nose, or through the sense of touch, or whatever, we need to ask ourselves, what am I doing? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I? And intuitively, you will start looking to see if you are in the physical plane or in the astral plane. But friends, until we do this, we will keep falling into the sleepiness and in the fascination, and at night we're just going to not know if we are in the astral plane or not, and our dreams will continue being scattered and confusing and random, and sometimes of good warnings and sometimes of just repeating the same scenes of the day. And worst of all, we're going to keep coming back into the physical body with very little recollection. And Samael gives us a word of advice. Because this key of SOL eventually results in the awakening of the consciousness in the astral plane. He says, be aware of the fact that in the astral plane, the things are perceived exactly as they are here in the physical realm. In our dreams, as well as after death, the things are perceived as they are in the physical world, and people do not even suspect they are out of their physical body. So now you see why it is so important that we do this. Samael shared with us a really, really funny experience because he says at one time he went to see a lawyer, and as he walks into the vestibule, the secretary is his administrative assistant. She was just doing some work and he greets her, she greets him. He sits on the chair, he's looking around and he observes the books and the bookshelves. He sees the lady working and typing, and he notices that on the desk there are a series of trinkets. You know what those trinkets are. You know, just those little figurines. And one of them happened to be a butterfly made out of glass. And because he sought to maintain alert novelty and alert perception, the moment that he noticed that that glass butterfly fluttered its wings, the shock of that impression was enough for him to say, "Hey, wait, what am I doing here? Where am I? Who am I? What is this?" And he stood up and he told the lady, "Dear madam, may you excuse me a second?" And he walked outside, and out in the sidewalk, he leaped with the intent of floating. And he found himself floating within those airs of mystery. And he laughed and he said, "I am in the astral plane." So he came back down. He went back into the office and told the lady, "Lady, you need to wake up at this moment. Our physical bodies are asleep. We are in the astral plane." And she looked at him, mesmerized, puzzled. For some of you, easier to understand for all of us this image, you know, like a deer staring at headlights. And someone else says, "She could not understand. It did not matter how much I tried. She was too deep into the sleep of her own consciousness." So respectfully, they parted ways. He once again went outside, and maintaining that remembrance of self, once again, he leaped with the intention of floating, and within the airs of mystery, he went somewhere else just to continue with his work. In the astral plane, things appear exactly as they appear here. And you know this. In your dreams, you have found yourself coming across a crocodile that may be in the living room, and that has never been a subject for you to stop and question what's going on. Many of you have found yourselves perhaps coming down a stairway in your house when you have no second floor. Many of you have seen yourselves walking in from one bedroom in which you are totally familiar with, and as you cross that door into the other side, something completely different, not even your house. But that is not enough as of a shock to make you stop, ask, "Oh, wait, what am I doing? Who am I? What is this place?" Friends, if we start making of this a good habit, before long, you will start noticing that as you go at the end of the day and perform your exercise of retrospection, you start recovering that ability to remember exactly as when you were a young child. And all of a sudden, you can revisit all of the events in your day with no difficulty. And just like that, the events of yesterday and last week. And before long, you can start perceiving those events that took place last month, the events of last year. As we do this, not only our retrospection becomes better, our ability to do self-observation becomes completely magnified. And then we start getting a better ability to comprehend all of our reactions. The reactions that are happening at the level of the mind, the level of our sentiments, and at the level of our body. And it is with that increased level of comprehension that we can then invoke of the power of our Divine Mother and her being that magical serpent of our mysterious powers. She will destroy our defects. And with the elimination of those defects, the more consciousness that becomes liberated, the more willpower becomes liberated, the more of our mind becomes available. And all of this together is what moves us into superior levels of being. So for us to really get out of the lullness and the much dramas and sufferings of our daily lives, let's start dividing our attention. And remember the key. It is SOL for subject, object, and location. Dear friends, if you were to have any questions, you are welcome to post your questions on the screen. And those of you who are listening to this lecture recorded, if you were to have any questions, you can send your questions to the address icq.arizona@gmail.com, and we will get back to you. Very well. So if there are no questions, dear friends, it has been phenomenal having you here once again this week. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, and may all beings be